Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Some news today, BT, with the New York Jets.
I got to tell you, I don't want to like revel in somebody losing their job. That's certainly not my intention here. But I absolutely love what the Jets have done with Gibson, who has been cut. I'm sure all of you know that by now. Saw the tweets, heard the updates here, Jerry and the guys in the morning. It is reinforcing what they told us they were going to do. And you're going to be accountable. And there's going to be consequences. And there's going to be a culture. And to me, now, the thing that I said after the loss on Sunday, as dispiriting as it was to lose to Rodgers, to lose again, to lose in that manner, 60-yard field goal, you got to kind of get through the forest there and see the bigger issue, at least from my perspective. And what I said was they were so ready to play. No punts in the first half, no penalties in the first half, no sacks allowed in the first half, which tells me that is emblematic of a buttoned-up, focused, intense start to the season in terms of conditioning and practice. So Aaron Glenn has already, like, what his preachings are already starting to take root. The next thing that had to happen is if somebody who's expendable, and Gibson, no disrespect, certainly is, muffs a punt or is sloppy or is selfish with a penalty, he's got to be shown the door. I absolutely love this.
See, for me, that's why I don't think it's a big deal, because he's expendable. He's a guy that you could argue shouldn't have been on the roster in the first place. So he's sloppy with the ball as it is. He fumbles the ball, and then they make him the scapegoat. The true test to me will be if guys make stupid decisions, whether it's penalties, late hits, personal fouls, or other fumbles. Like, you can't just cut everybody when they fumble. So this player was expendable. That's why he's no longer with the team. It's not because he fumbled, because that is a dangerous practice. What, Aaron Glenn's not going to make a mistake? I thought he made a mistake calling the timeout before the two-point conversion. Also, the play design. So if you start just cutting players because of a singular mistake, you're going to have some problems. I don't think that this is the case, but then I'm also not going to reward them for saying they held the guy accountable.
Okay, well, listen, let's not be naive here. There's always different rules for different people. I'm pretty sure back in the day, like, Francesa could get away with more than the weekend update guy. That's just the way it goes. The same with Breece Hall and Gibson. Breece Hall looks amazing again. He looks healthy. He's a stud. And Gibson is a dime a dozen. He's just a guy. So, I mean, the consequences will vary based on the person and the infractions,
right?
But I don't doubt, now if I don't see this, I'd be a little bit disappointed. I don't doubt that, like, if it's a hold or if it's a defensive player who makes a bad judgment based on selfishness, like a late hit or just trying to make himself look good to get a me play, like a sack or something, a splash play, Quincy 15-yard penalty going out of bounds. I believe that you will see him address that, like, with vigor. Now, if he just ignores it, then he's not being consistent. But the messaging needs to be aggressive to the stars and the scrubs. They got to get sent packing.
And I'm sure he's already done that behind closed doors. You're just going to cut every player for every penalty or mistake that they made. That's my point. Also, you do run the risk, while I love it, holding guys accountable, when it's drastic to cut somebody. Now, again, if Gibson was the starting punt returner, obviously you only get the opportunity because of injury. We went over that the other day. If he were the starting punt returner, I think he'd get another opportunity. If you do choose to start cutting guys because of fumble, that could also make guys tight. And then thinking, oh, crap, I'm one mistake away from it. Like, I don't know if that's the best way to get the best out of players. It's a very fine line between holding guys accountable, letting them know how they should be playing the game smart, hard, the right way.
Yep.
But also not just every mistake, cutting guys, fire, you know what I mean?
That can't I do know what either. You mean. Well, that's an interesting point. I mean, because you don't want to play tight, but I would imagine, first of all, Gibson has shown ball security issues before.
Yeah. He should have not been on the team.
Exactly. Yeah. Before Aaron Glenn got here, Aaron Glenn watched the tape of every player that he was inheriting and those that he wanted to go out and pursue in the draft and free agency. So he knew that he was sloppy. I'm sure that this has been a common occurrence in practice, because when you have bad hands, you have bad hands, although you have bad habits, bad hands all the time. But I want to play this for you, because this, to me, God, we've been desperate for this. Instead of the nonsense we've been fed from, you know, the coaches who just didn't have an ounce of leadership or presence, that just fed us nonsense and just blabbered stuff out loud. This is a man with purpose. Listen to what he said Sunday, and then we know what he did today. Go ahead,
Dwayne. The one thing to me that had to turn this game is, man, we can't have turnovers. We can't do it. We have to be a more disciplined team, right? There were some penalties that happened in that game that was true discipline issues. And, again, that's something that will be addressed. You will not be on the field with this team if you're going to cause us to lose games. You're going to cause issues like that. So we will get that addressed.
I've been watching the Jets forever. The only person I heard ever sound like that was Parcells. Even Rex didn't sound like that. And Rex had success. Even Herm, who had some success early, didn't quite sound like that. That is a presence. That is an unwavering, it's my way or you're not going to be here. And I love it.
Me too.
Love it.
Me too. But it only works if the results follow. And they already lost one game. Like, they got to. And I'm not getting on them. You and I both felt that it was. There were more positives to take away from that first week, even with the loss.
No question.
But when you're going to be like that, it only works if you have success. And I do think it was a successful week one. Eventually, going to have to start winning games. Otherwise, it could go the wrong way quickly with players.
Now, you saw the Cowboys, Doc. Think about Jimmy Johnson in the early days there. They had one win. He was just get rid of guys. Like, he would. Like, that's the kind of, you know, preaching and coaching model. That's fairly antiquated at this point. You got McDaniel who's trying to buddy up in the strange way with everybody down in Miami. I don't even know what he's saying. He sounds like he's on acid. There's no way that guy's got the locker room. So most of these coaches who come in now, it's either a schematical language that they think is brilliant that the players latch onto, or they just want to be buddy-buddy. There are very few people in modern sports that come in, command the room, say something, do it right away, no apologies. You're right. Now there's more runway here. We got to see where this goes. But step one, I'm happy.
100%. He's a football coach. We just hope the results follow. BT and Sal on the Fan. Back to the Mets calls, 888-808-1019. Started the show talking about the Mets in the midst of throwing away that playoff position. I'm not worried yet. Anthony's in Fort Lauderdale. What's up, Ant?
How you guys doing this morning?
What's up, Ant?
First time caller, long time listener. You guys got a great show. Just want to give you guys props on that.
Appreciate it.
I do want to say this. You know, I'm not one of these emotional guys. I love my team. I'm a Mets fan since the early 70s. Mm-hmm. So I've lived through a lot, okay? But I don't get too carried away with the emotions. I look at numbers to a certain extent. I'm not really a numbers guy. I go by the eye test, typically, and I do see that, you know, this team has a tendency to make guys like Aaron Nola look like Tom Seaver, and it does worry me a little bit, okay? But I do want to say, I can say this, and this is a fact, which is not speculation or anything.
Go ahead.
In order for them to win 89 games, which is what they did last year, they have to go 13-4 over the next 17 games.
Correct.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No. Not
so we know we can realistically say the regular season has been a failure.
I think based on last year, Sal, based on the number from last year.
Yeah, but who cares once they get in? And by the way,
I agree. Anything can happen. Anything can happen in the playoffs. Sal's right about that.
Well,
that's why I'm holding out some hope.
Well, but
however, can we realistically say the regular season has been a failure?
Yes.
I wouldn't say failure. I would just say disappointment.
Yeah, if they don't
failure is not the word that I would use.
Right, because if they make the postseason, it can't be a total failure. Here's the way that I would say it. Even though I didn't necessarily expect the Mets to win the division before the year started, I definitely thought the Mets would be a better team than they were last year. And they have not definitively done that. Also, to an extent where the playoffs is such a crapshoot, and I hate to say that because it's such an excuse for these teams, where it really shouldn't be that way. The Yankees have been using that excuse for a long time. The Mets are going to use that as, just get in, anything can happen. But it's not an excuse. It's the reality of the sport. However, I would guess, let's say the Mets win coming into this year, 95, 98 games. Okay, better than last year's team.
Mm-hmm.
But who's to say that they couldn't be ousted in the first round like the Phillies or the Braves were the year before?
Yeah.
That would, like, just because they would have had a better regular season in my mind didn't mean they would have gone as far as they went last year because they went pretty damn far last year.
I agree. The only thing that I would say on that, like when you win, you know, 95, 98 games, generally, I don't know how to phrase it. So the 87s, 88s, 89 wins, all right, third playoff team, whatever. All right, that to me, there's, you know, you benefit from the additional wild card. and the watered-down version of the playoffs, but generally if you win that few games, quote-unquote few games,
right,
generally you have some real problems on the team, either inconsistencies or injuries or both, right? At least if the Mets would have won like 98 games this year and say if they got bounced early, I think there would have been enough favorable storylines like throughout the year where I think I'd feel a lot better about their future. I'm not saying that their future's bleak. I'm not saying that at all. But, like, do you really know? Vientos has picked it up, so he gets a little bit of a different life. But how many guys right now on the team, and again, a deeper discussion for down the road, but at least on the cursory level, you can answer it. How many guys on the team now that are primary fixtures are here in 2 years?
Well, I think there's going to be a complete, even if they... Now, I mean, I was going to say even if they have success in the postseason, but deem success. Like, what would be successful at this point?
Honestly, for the Mets to get to the World Series, okay, because that's the expectation. So it's not different than the Yankees.
Right, so then if they get to the World Series, is there still going to be significant change? I get the feeling that regardless of the result of this year, there is going to be significant change. I think David Stearns wants to put more of his imprint on the team, whether that means moving
on. Is that a good thing? Some of the moves he's been making, is that good?
Oh, I don't know.
You trust him?
I don't know. It's been year two. I mean, I think he's made some mistakes. I think he's made some good moves.
Mullins bomb, I mean. I know it's a very there's a long
so
list here. The Mullins thing, but there's a lot of moves that he's made. I think he's made more bad moves than good moves.
I mean, last year he had starting. He took a team to the NLCS, and this year is still incomplete.
But he took a team. To me, that's misleading. He signed Manaea, which was a big piece of the puzzle.
Severino
and Seve, and he got Iglesias off the scrap heap, signed him to a minor league deal, which obviously fortified their bench, and he played a lot too. So I'm not saying he had no imprint on the season, but to say that he led them to the NLCS, to me, is a bit strong.
Well, he was the GM.
He didn't build the team. He didn't bring Lindor. Didn't bring in Pete. Didn't bring in McNeil. Didn't bring in Nimmo. Didn't bring in Diaz.
But then he didn't build this team either.
I agree.
Okay, so then that's what I'm saying.
But the changes, he didn't build this team, but the reconstruction of this team, which he did do, has not proven to be, I think, as good as Met fans were thinking he might do.
But it's basically the same group of guys that they had last year.
Yes, but, and we could actually do this some other point. Don't you think there's been more misses than makes this year from him? I do. Montas, colossal miss.
That was just a, come on.
By the way, Tommy John out, $17 million wasted next year. I don't know what he was doing with that.
I'd actually prefer that. Not that you want to see guys get hurt, but I don't want to see him pitch ever again for the Mets.
I hear you.
And maybe they get the insurance money back. I don't know how that'll work. It was a horrible signing from the get-go.
No.
That's a terrible mistake, strike one. I don't think he did enough at the deadline. Everybody else was praising him. I don't think he did enough at the deadline. I can't blame him for Helsley. Rodgers has been terrific, so it's not Rodgers.
No, but Mosley. Mullins and Helsley. Neither's done anything.
Yeah, I get it. I mean,
that's 0-2. Montas 0-3.
To me, they weren't aggressive enough. The results may vary in the players. I can't nitpick and say, you got Helsley, and he's not good. Helsley was one of the best arms. Was he the best? Would I rather have Duran? I would rather have had Duran.
What about Bednar? You'd probably rather have him, too.
Yeah, Bednar. Yeah, he's a good one. He's a name that I did bring up. Yeah, I mean, Bednar, you'd rather have him. So, either way, yeah, you could nitpick, sure. So, back to, I think it was the last call we were just saying about, like, the win total, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Mets right now are what, 76
wins? 76 wins.
Okay, 76 wins with 17 to play.
Okay.
If we do a little math here. See, because everybody's going, well, since June 13th and blah, 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 blah. They've lost four games in a row.
Yeah.
But unless I'm doing this on the fly as we're trying to do
the culture.
I'm pretty sure that over the last 23 games, 12 plus 11 is 23. I'm pretty sure that I added this up right. The Mets are 12-11 in their last 23 games.
That sounds about right.
Okay.
Because they swept the Phillies
prior. But that's also not like, the world is falling. They're collapsing away. Now, it's not in accordance with what their record was to start the year.
Nor the expectations.
It's 100%. Oh, that's already gone. But it's also not the dip that we saw, which was horrific from June 13th.
Like the Pirates, like that Pirates series. Well, I agree.
Yeah, or when they were having pitchers that couldn't go out there and give you four innings, let alone five or six innings. Mm-hmm. Anyway, point is, if they then play the rest of the way a game over 500,
mm-hmm.
do you not think that that's going to be enough? And remember,
that would be what, nine wins there? All right, so 76, so you're talking about 85 wins?
That's what I mean. Like,
that's cutting it pretty close, man.
All right, but
those Giants are hot, Sal.
But that's doing what they've done right now.
Right, I'm going to make a prediction. If the Mets win 85, Mets ain't going to the playoffs.
So you think it's going to take 86?
I think it might even take 87.
Okay, but even with that, so then they have to go 11-6. But that then the Giants would have to go what if the Mets won 11-6?
13-4.
Yeah.
They got to do two games better. No, they'd have to go three games better because the Mets have the tiebreaker. So, I mean, that's quick math. I think I got it.
So that's not happening. So I think if the Mets win 10 more games, I think if they go 10-7, over the final 17, they're going to get in. And there's reason to believe that they could do that because, like I said, their recent stretch, last 23, including losing four in a row, assuming my math is right here, is still over 500.
Yeah, but if they go 10-7, then that means something that you're still holding hope out for, which I don't think is going to happen. I don't think there's any, well, I'm not going to say any. I don't think it's incredibly likely at all that they catch the Padres. You've said that you think they can.
More no, they so have than, to do better than that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they go 10-7, they did not catch the Padres, which means they're the third wild card, which means they won 85, 86 games. And that is just, that's not good.
Well, no, but getting to
the final. You can't win something, well, but come on, no, 85 wins? But we already, $50 million payroll?
All I care is about getting in.
I understand that, but all I heard off season was the Mets are going to do this, right, and the Mets are going to do that, and the Mets are going to, here we are, you're hoping they don't bleed out like they have in the past.
I know, but that's all hypotheticals and what ifs. They didn't have a great regular season
last
year.
Well, it's not hypothetical because they're not playing well now. Okay, it's a hypothetical to say that it will continue.
Ultimately, they're not going to be judged on what they do in the regular season. It doesn't matter, as long as they get in. Well, ultimately, they will, because they could have won 100 games and lost in the first round. And what would you say? Well, they had a great regular season? No, you'd be like, this team, the payroll, they're supposed to win the World Series. So that's still possible. Whether you win 102, whether you win 85, if you're in, you're in.
One thing I don't think I'll ever say about any team in New York, all right, with the Yanks or the Mets, I don't think I'm ever going to say again. I have said this in the past. I don't think you'll ever hear me say the Yankees or the Mets should win the World Series.
Right.
Because it's changed too much to have that definitive confidence. Back in the day, Yankees should win the World Series. 86, Mets, you should win the World Series. I think that day's over.
Right, but that's what, but it's also just about the postseason.
I understand that. But I know. That's why I always say to you, Sal, I say it's layered, it's nuanced, and it is. And it's almost like we could have two or three different conversations. All I'm trying to do is keep the thread, which I will do, a possibility that the Mets could still achieve their goals. Right. That avenue is still open. I'm not trying to be unfair or obtuse or just dumb, but, I mean, 85, 86 wins is not what I thought, and it's certainly not what I heard all winter what the Mets would be this year.
No, that is
an underachievement.
Agreed. It would be a bad regular season. What does that mean? Absolutely nothing. Yeah. Well, they won 101 games 3 years ago.
No,
what was your result at the end of that year?
They were in and out. That was the Padres, right?
Yeah. The regular season was great, but they weren't that good. Oh, they won 101 games, but they lost in the first round. It's all about the playoffs now in baseball. Same thing with the Yankees. Yankees could come back and miraculously win their division, which, by the way, they should have won to begin with, but they could come back and win the division even after last night. And if they lose in the first round, is anybody going to say, well, they had a good ride in the regular season and somehow won the division when we all thought they were dead?
I wouldn't say that because the Yankees season's been too disjointed. It's been too uneven. Like, if the Yankees won 102 games and they lost a hard fought, even if they lost to a team that they were heavily favored to beat, a team from the Central, whatever, it would be met with great, great skepticism. You can't, a couple of things that you can't do. Well, I'm not going to say either team should win or will win, I don't think ever again in my life, because baseball's changed. There will be certain series where I'll say the Yankees should win or the Mets should win, and if they don't, then it's okay to crush them. And there's also certain situations, and it applies to both of these teams this year, although the Mets more, that you just didn't do during the regular season what I thought that you would do. It's okay to say that. Like, the Mets, this is a new day for the Mets here. This is a new awakening. This is the Mets morphing into the Yankees, the Dodgers trying to. And I've always said, and I say it with a smile, but it's always been, laced with seriousness, the crown is heavy. And when I'm told all year the Mets are going to do this and that, and you're struggling to win 85, 86 games and be that last wild card team, it has not been a good regular season, although I know what you're going to say. It doesn't mean that you can't achieve the goals.
Yeah, but I don't understand. Who told you this?
Who told me what?
That the Mets were going to do all this.
Well, I heard all winter was that the Mets were going to, the Yankees, the Mets, the payroll, the Soto. Yeah. Here you are trying to scrap out a wild card.
Okay.
That's impressive.
But I'm still confused as to what you're saying.
What?
Did you think the Mets were going to win the division?
I did not.
Okay, most people didn't.
No.
So they're not going to win the division.
But I didn't think they'd be stuck here with 15, 17 games to go, fighting for their life, trying to get the last wild card. If baseball didn't throw you a life preserver years ago and give you a third wild card, you wouldn't even be a playoff team this year.
Okay, but the rules are what they are.
Like, I understand that. Doesn't mean that it's there's levels of achievement. Let's not dull this down to the point where, I mean, if the Mets get in,
just keep the same energy with the Yankees. I'm fine with
it. I always do. I always do keep the same energy.
Did you expect the Yankees to win the division?
You know I do.
Did you expect?
When do I go easier on the Yankees? Okay. I always go hard on the Yankees. I just crushed my boon last night for taking out Will Warren.
No, but you said the Mets have had it worse than the Yankees, but yet you didn't think the Mets would win the division coming in.
I didn't think the Yankees would win the division either. I said the same thing.
Before the start of the year?
You
didn't think the Yankees were going to win the division before the start of the year?
The best thing, and sometimes the worst thing for you and I, is Google.
Yeah.
Because there are receipts. And everything that I said going into the season, I'm like, You know what? Honestly, and you were saying that the Yankees should win. I'm like, I don't know. I'm not going to say the Yankees should win the division. I don't know if I don't feel that way.
Maybe.
No, I didn't say like, no, they won't. Like, it wasn't like this bold print that the Yankees won't win 89 games and not be that good. But it was never, ever like, oh, yeah, the Yankees will win the East. They always do. I was very, and I've always said that in years past. This year, I didn't take the bait because I didn't think that they were as good as some people thought.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
BT and Sal, all the fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. Let's get back to the calls on the Mets. We've talked about the Mets so far. Check it out on the free Odyssey app. We've also discussed the Jets and their decision to cut Gibson after he fumbled the football on Sunday. We'll get more into the Jets and Giants games, obviously, and we can do so later, BT. It is already Wednesday. The week's flying by here.
Yep.
But certainly tomorrow, and then, of course, Friday, we look forward to seeing these two teams if they actually get on the board with a win. Mentioned some Yankees as well. Nick is calling from Bergen County about those Yanks. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Sal, BT, I'm calling about Grissom swinging 3-0 with two outs, two men on, Judge on deck. How come Boone's not giving him the takes on there?
Because no manager does anymore. You might I don't like it. You don't like it. We don't understand it. That's baseball. Especially for a guy who's got 30 bombs and just crushes fastballs and
generally
has a good sense of what he's looking for and generally doesn't expand the zone when he gets a hitter's count. The game's changed, Nick. That's really just that's the bottom line. That's the answer.
Crazy.
That's it. Based off the results,
thanks,
and thanks for the call, Nick. See, again, if you're a believer of you always take on 3-0, that's fair. You could be a believer of that.
Mm-hmm.
The game, I used to be a believer of that. The game has changed so much so now that you feel like 3-0, if they throw you a fastball down the middle, you got to hammer it.
Yep.
Especially to your point. I know it's Judge on deck. You're frustrated with the result as opposed to maybe the idea. Nick maybe has the idea that you always pass on 3-0. I would not have that philosophy anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, you're very consistent with a thought process not based on results. I give you that. You are committed to something independent of the result, but more the strategy before.
Yeah, because you can't just always go based off the result. If I feel like it was the wrong move, whatever, bringing in this pitcher to face this batter.
Mm-hmm. Starting Shomania.
Starting Shomania. Or we talked about it with Mendoza last two nights ago with pinch hitting Acuna. Like, it's not just because of the result that happened. It's the idea of pinch hitting. If Acuna laced a double there, my theory still would have been, that's great. Now, it wouldn't have been magnified, maybe, because the game could have changed. But my theory still would have been, no.
Yeah.
He's not a pinch hitter. He's a guy that you want to have on the bench.
Correct.
And save him for that spot. So I know that's a unique example, but a
3-0 but it's a good
thing,
one. But the reason why you should remain married to that, and you do, because if you do that 10 times, you would think the results would bear itself out in a non-favorable way, which is why you don't like him pitch hitting in that spot at the outset.
Correct. Same way, like, hey, don't chuck that three from 10 feet beyond the three-point line. But I hit it, coach.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but
still a bad shot.
Yeah, it's a bad shot, in theory, regardless of the result. Jerry is calling from the Bronx. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Jerry.
Jerry! It's been a while.
BT, how do you do,
Jerry boy? Where you been, man?
Really, where you been?
I'm in Boca now.
Oh, tough life, Jerry.
I'm hanging out by the pool. I said, you know what? I'm going to call Sal and BT and break their shoes.
Go ahead. What do you got for us, Jerry?
Let me tell you something. The bottom of the Yankee lineup is killing us. The top of the lineup right now is hitting amazing. They're not great right now, but they went through a phase where they were hitting amazing. Between Wells, McCann, and Volpe at the bottom of that lineup,
mm-hmm.
I mean, come on, the on-base percentage, they're hitting 200, Sal, BT. If they're hitting 200, what's their on-base, 150?
Well, no, the on-base is 270 in the neighborhood for both Wells and Volpe,
so
which is terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. And not only that, as far as the Mets are concerned, out of the two teams, they're the more disappointing team. I mean, they have to be. They were expecting more from them this year. I mean, you got Soto and Sal. The whole year you were bothering me. I couldn't even listen to you. Soto's was this, Soto's going to do that. But when he was with the Yankees and he first started out, oh, he's an on-base guy. I want him to swing in that position.
No. Come on, Jerry, selective listening. Jerry, and thank you for the call. I've loved Soto all along. What I said was in that particular spot. As a matter of fact, I even said if and when Soto signs with the Mets, because I believed he was going to, if he doesn't swing the bat in that spot, it would drive me nuts. That's what I was talking about, specifically to the Mets, because they didn't also have Aaron Judge behind him in his lineup, whereas if Soto passes the baton, at least you have Judge. Mm-hmm. With the Mets, it was Alonso. So that was, you're going back well over a year ago.
Cherry picking some old takes here, sitting by the pool doing Lord knows what. Real quick, though, I hear you on the bottom third of the Yankee lineup. Volpe has been an absolute disaster, any way you cut it. McMahon has been, he's actually been okay lately. He's a great fielder. Austin Wells has been hitting. Like, that's where I'm going to tell you you're wrong there, Jerry. Last 30 days, he's got a 900 OPS. Like, you watch Austin Wells, got a couple of home runs, some ribbies. Now, it's a different conversation. Has he been the player that I necessarily thought he would be in totality? The answer is no. But the last 30 days, if you want to assign levels of culpability to that bottom third of the order, it's not accurate to say that Wells is not hitting because he's one of the few guys hitting down there.
Even McMahon started to look like he was coming out of it a little bit.
He was.
But the problem is he's just a strikeout machine. Ben is calling from Marlboro. What's up, Ben?
Sal, how you doing? BT, how you doing?
Hey, good. Sal. Hey, Ben.
Sal, I heard all year, you know, you talking about Manaea. You're not too high on him. He has a pretty decent start the other night, and now we're feeling pretty good. But I heard Friday you come after Yankees fans for trusting Carlos Rodon and you and BT getting into it over him not being as fearful as Rodon. But Rodon's had much more of a consistent season this year than Manaea. So can you just rationalize that for me, please?
Well, I don't think you're not explaining it right. First of all, they're two different things. So if you were asking my thoughts on Carlos Rodon, here's what I would say to you, Ben, and I want you to listen up. Carlos Rodon has had a fantastic season. He is better than Sean Manaea. I would not trust him in the postseason. Second point, I said weeks ago I would have sent Manaea to the bullpen. So I don't know, like, where are you getting your information from exactly?
Do you trust Manaea more in the postseason than you would trust Rodon in the postseason?
I don't trust either of them in the postseason right now.
Would you trust Manaea in the postseason more than you would trust Rodon in the postseason? Because what it sounds like today, you have tons more faith in Manaea than you do in Rodon.
But what are you basing that off of? Listen to what I'm saying. I told you I would have put Manaea in the bullpen weeks ago because I think he could be a weapon. To me, last night was his best start. Was it good? No. Obviously, nobody wants five innings from your supposed ace and giving up four runs. What I said was it was his best start. Look it up. It has been. It was encouraging, at least. But would I trust him in the postseason? Out of the bullpen, yes. I'd like to see another spot from him now. I don't trust Carlos Rodon. Who do I trust more? Obviously, right now, Rodon has had the better season. He's had the better career, as a matter of fact, Carlos Rodon.
He has.
Does that tickle your fancy for me?
Like, what are you, Benny Hill?
I don't understand. Like, well, I was going to say tickle something else, but I don't want to get graphic here. Uh-huh. They're like, what? It's not a Mets Yankee thing, and you're not listening. Like, that's the problem that a lot of people have. Matter of fact, to take it a step further, on social media, we can post a clip, or digital guys post a clip. People don't even listen or watch the clip, and they comment.
Yeah, I know. It's funny. I have noticed that. So I don't really dive into that stuff too much. Sometimes it gets sent to me or whatever. Sometimes I'll even repost it. Like, I reposted some stuff with our Jets takes for Monday, whatever. And sometimes I'll say, all right, let me see. How are Sal and I getting crushed today in the comments, right? And I'll just read it just so I can laugh to myself because I really don't care. And I'll see like a clown emoji or it'll say two clowns. Meanwhile, we had completely opposite takes,
right,
which tells me you didn't watch the video.
Right. In this particular case, it is a clear Yankee fan who was sensitive to it. I'm not, like, when am I praising Manaea? Saying that it was his best start last night is not saying much. Look at the game log. And also, there's a different level. Like, look at what Carlos Rodon's making, by the way. Look what Rodon's making. So if we're going to hold the Mets and their payroll in accordance to their expectations, which you should, then shouldn't we hold Rodon and his contract a little bit higher as far as expectations go than what Sean Manaea is making? He's making peanuts compared to Carlos Rodon.
You should, and we should, and we have. And
by the way, who was better last year? Sean Manaea was better last year than Rodon. Now,
the season better. I have to look at the whole numbers there. Rodon's year, let's do this real fast. Rodon's second year was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, the first year was awful for all the reasons we hit. Year two, he started to show some signs. We were obviously slow to praise because we were pissed off from year one. But Rodon had a lot of strikeouts. He had some wins. You pull up Manaea. Pull up Manaea real quick.
Yeah.
Now, I know Manaea's final 18 starts were terrific. Yeah, I'm just curious, though.
Yeah, to me, it's not going to be about the numbers.
I'm just curious.
The dominance from Manaea once he turned the corner, to me, was better than what we saw from Rodon.
I would agree with that. No, there was definitely a more more extended dominant stretch from Manaea. Yeah. Although, don't forget, the first start by Rodon in the playoffs last year was very good.
What was the ERA for Rodon?
I'm pulling this up now. Okay, so Rodon is a little slow. All right, so let me see. Stats. Oh, I can't stand when this doesn't work. Here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
3.96. What was Manaea's ERA?
3.47.
Okay, so, and again, largely because of the body of work when he changed his windup, which
Manaea
is all...
Manaea had a good year last year.
I know he did.
And then he was dominant. He finished 11th in Cy Young voting.
3.96. How many innings did Manaea pitch?
181.
Okay, here we go. So 175 for Rodon, basically the same. How many walks did Manaea have?
63.
Okay, so Rodon had 57, so slight advantage Rodon. How many strikeouts?
184.
195 for Rodon. Advantage Rodon. What was the whip?
1.084.
Okay. Advantage Manaea, 1.22.
Manaea was better last year. But again, Rodon's had the better career, and Rodon's had the better season this year. I still don't trust him in the postseason based off of what he did last year. Not because I grew up a Met fan. Holy crap. Holy crap. Got me. Sorry. The Met fan said Manaea is better. He had a great start last night. Like, I literally never said he had a great start. What I said was it's his best start, sadly, since he's been back. Sadly.
Yeah.
Good God. Now,
the other thing that you're saying, which I do think is nuts, is that you would still run him out there. And I'm saying sit him on the bench. Give me the other five guys. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
Only because I don't think they have better options. It's worth another look. And because I'm more encouraged from his final three innings last night than I've been before.
888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Back to the calls. We got a little 3-hour queue coming up. Todd Zeal's in studio.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On the Fan.
Hi, BT. Three random questions sponsored by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Injured? Visit injurylawyer.com. Let me just clear my throat right there.
Let me clear my throat.
All right, number one, would you want to own a famous house?
A famous house that is just like an investment property or where I actually live?
No, like you live.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. No, not necessarily. No.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea of it sounds cool. Like, oh, the house from a Christmas Story Miracle on 30th.
Or Full House in San Francisco when they used to have
exactly
that shot.
Exactly that. Or the Home Alone house.
Yeah, and the Sopranos.
The Sopranos house. So I went this weekend to go see that Sopranos house.
You see Tony picking up the paper with the slippers and
no,
the robe?
No, but now I'm assuming you've driven past this house before. Did you take any pictures or anything? Okay.
Did you?
I didn't, only because I had Sammy in the car seat and I was by myself. But I am thinking that maybe I could go reenact, one of the seats or whatever, take a picture.
Reenact a scene? Where you throw an empty orange juice container at your wife? Yeah. No, wait, Carmella threw it at him, I think.
No, I could just walk down the driveway in the bathrobe. Yeah, you know,
getting the Bergen record or whatever
the white tank top
Star Ledger.
On. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there is a sign there. It's like, no loitering. Violators will be. And then I was thinking, man, like, obviously, I'm not the only person to do it. And I saw another person. This was like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody else is driving by. It's a dead end or a cul-de-sac or whatever.
It is.
So I guess the reason behind this question is that could be annoying. It's cool in that, like, yeah, I live in this house. I walk up this driveway. I drive the driveway that was in The Sopranos. But also, I got people coming all over the place every day.
Wouldn't want that. No, I would not want that. That's intrusive. That could be dangerous as well. I mean, no interest in that.
That's what I mean. You think that devalues the house where they try to go to sell it?
No.
I would be annoyed to a point where, like, I don't want anybody around.
I heard it jacked up. I'd have to double check. Somebody told me that when it was put on the market. I don't want to talk out of school here, but yeah. I think it went over for $150,000 or $200,000 over the initial asking price. And this was a while ago. Like most now, everything's going that much over the asking price, depending upon where you are.
Right, but then if the people live there this long, like, I can't deal with this anymore.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's the same group, if it's the same family. It might be, maybe it's changed hands. No, that does not appear. I don't want, listen, you watch Knicks games in my backyard. Yeah. I want to know that I'm in the yard and nobody's snapping up looking for Sill or Big Pussy or somebody else.
But if you do buy that house, you probably should be understanding that there are going to be people that, A, want to drive by, and maybe, B, get out and take a picture.
I agree.
Would you be okay with that?
I wouldn't buy the house then. No, I wouldn't buy the house. Like, those are people, it's obviously okay with them, and they've made that predetermination.
They do have that sign up. It scared me. Like, I drove back.
Yeah, but you get scared of non-venomous snakes and birds.
I follow the rules. I'm a rule follower. Okay. It said it had the sign out there. I don't want to be prosecuted or violated.
To the full extent of the family?
So I didn't get out of the car, but I did drive by like three times. I was like, oh, is this the right?
Did you play the music?
Of course I did.
Did you play the music?
Of course
you
I did.
Nice. Woke up this morning.
Sammy's in the back going, Disney songs. Disney songs. Going, shut up, Sammy.
Got myself a gun. Bam, 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 bam. And we'll listen to Moana in a little bit there, honey. Daddy's reenacting some crazy part of his world that he still loves.
I did. I got into the moment. Now I got to go back without her. Of course, I could really get the feel of it. Number two, it has been brought to my attention.
I'll tell you a quick sip, brother.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have actually pumped that. So, you know, of course you do, the opening montage when he's initially going, well, before that, when he's going through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah.
I used to play the music, and it would start like the part that I love the most would just start to hit as I'm coming out of the Lincoln Tunnel going into Jersey. What a bunch of weirdos we are.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to drive past the house, you got to do it. Same thing if I go to like the Holden shop. I haven't done that yet, but I'm going to do it. All right, number two. It has come to my attention that Mike Tyson is in fact going to be in studio on Friday. I don't know if that's like definite yet.
With us or with the guys down the hall?
No, with the morning show.
Okay, there you go.
And would it, like, usually I would just be like, hey, whatever, man, and moving on. But like, Mike Tyson?
Mm-hmm.
You think it would be appropriate to ask for a picture?
100%
with Iron Mike.
100%
Are you going to do it? You're here early enough. Usually, you might. I don't know what time you're going to be on.
Probably will. You know, I'm not a big jock sniffer at all. just not. But Tyson's unique, man. You know what I'd like to say? Did I ever tell you the story of the time I met Muhammad Ali? I don't think I told you this.
You might have, but go ahead. Refresh my memory.
It was at Nobu. I was on a date, right? And this was Nobu in the city. And this, if I had to take a guess, maybe 05, something like that. And the girl that I'm with, she says, is that Muhammad Ali? Like, yeah, it is. Long story short, he's walking around the restaurant, going to the tables. It was incredibly, it was a poignant moment. And yes, I'm using the word properly, Boomer and Geo. Very poignant moment. And he's going to, he couldn't speak though, and his hands were trembling. And he had, like, you know when somebody dies, you have a mask card?
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't a mask card, but it was a similar size with sayings and, like, just how to live your life to be appreciative of things. Okay. And he gave it to everybody. And she's like, you know, I'm a sportscaster. She's like, you got to take a picture with him. I'm like, not in the middle of the restaurant. I don't know. Yeah. And it wasn't like the phone's like now. It was a flip phone. I don't know. It was her phone. And I remember finally I got the stones up to do it. And we're in the middle of the restaurant and he's got his fist on my chin.
That's awesome.
No, it wasn't because she couldn't take the picture.
What do you mean?
Was getting nervous. She's fumbling around. I'm starting to sweat. The whole restaurant's looking at me. Muhammad Ali's got his fist up to my, she couldn't figure out the phone. I'm telling you, it wasn't an Apple phone. It was like 2004 or five. Like, pictures weren't as plentiful.
It still shouldn't be that difficult.
I shouldn't have been, which is why I started sweating and getting nervous. And it was, I can actually feel, I can't describe this properly, I can feel an aura from Muhammad Ali that I have felt. The only thing that comes close is when I stood next to Tiger Woods and he actually hit a shot from the fairway, or actually from just off the fairway at the Buick Open back in, I don't know, 99 or so. It is a different level of encounter.
Did you get the picture?
Yes.
Okay, so you got the picture.
And but then I broke up with her and I don't have the picture. I know. I don't have the picture.
Dude.
I know.
That's a rookie move. You got to get the pick first and then break off.
I hear you.
Was she in it?
No.
Okay, even better.
I don't want her in it.
Exactly right.
I know.
You got to hit her up. Go on Facebook or something.
Hit her up, yeah. Hey, is your wife home? Hit her up. Dude,
yeah.
Nuts.
Find her on Facebook.
That's probably seven generations of phones ago. Okay. I can have it. What, she downloaded to MySpace?
Oh, dude, that's a great memory.
I messed up. I'll take the L.
All right, so Tyson Friday.
100%. If he's here, yeah. But he scares me.
Yeah.
He does scare me. Like, I still feel like he could snap it.
He's still iron.
You know what I mean? I'm like, he makes me nervous still.
All right, last one here. What would you do? Let me ask it this way.
Okay.
Would you, if you caught a foul ball at a game, give it to a kid immediately?
Yes, I would. And if I'm with my children, they get it. Obviously, if I catch it, I will be a little judgmental in this sense. I will look for a child, no question. But I'm actually going to flip it to the child closest to me. I'm going to make a determination in my mind, and I'm going to find the child that I can tell loves baseball.
But then what happens if you get home and Colt's like, Daddy, I saw you catch a foul ball. Where is it?
Yeah, then I say, hey, Cole, remember when Rick Pitino sent you a 30-second message give you inspiration before your playoff game last year? Deal with it.
All right, but you
remember when Daddy took you to the World Series? You saw Volpe at a Grand Slam?
I'm just saying in general, I guess you're looking at it from your own unique perspective.
Yeah, well, how else can I look at it?
Well,
what would you do?
Not be forced to give it to some other kid.
No, I wouldn't be forced. I'm not saying I would be forced. Talking about what happened with the Phillies?
Well, of course.
With that crazy woman? That lunatic?
But then there was a video last night, I think, in the Giants game that some adult dude, whatever, caught the ball fair and square.
Yep.
And then he went and sought out to give it to a kid, which is great.
It's great. That's a beautiful thing.
Understood. But let's say that I am in that spot and I catch said ball. And I'm not like public figure, just whatever. Random person.
Okay.
Random person catches a ball, a foul ball. That person is going to be pressured into giving that ball away. What if he wants to take it home to his kids?
Screw everybody else. You should never be shamed into doing it. I didn't think that that's what you were asking me. I would do it of my own volition.
Yeah.
I really would. I get a million balls. If you caught the ball and you weren't Sal on the radio, you were Sal at Home Depot.
That
or
wanted to bring
maybe
it back
at that
to
point
his,
you're a manager at Home Depot. Maybe you own Home Depot at that point. You know, but nobody knows you're Sal on the radio or Sal on TV. There's no way you should be shamed into giving us a take it home, give it to the door, screw everybody else.
Well, that's my thing. And this has been going on for years, even before like some of the stuff, you know, the Phillies, Karen, all that stuff.
Oh, God
it's
almighty.
Been going on forever, though.
Just get back. Get rid of her.
That was ridiculous.
Good God.
Yeah, exactly. But whatever. That was a whole ridiculous situation. All I'm saying is that there, just because it may appear that an adult catches a foul ball and wants to keep it, it may not be for him.
Agreed.
It is not that. It could also be like, hey, I got kids. You know, my nephew would love this ball. My dog, like... You know what I'm saying?
I do. My parents not in good health. Then
whatever. Yeah,
they taught me the game, and I caught a ball with my dad 50 years ago, and I want to reciprocate. Yeah. Of course. Who is anybody else to judge? Don't get me going.
That's kind of my.
You know where I stand.
BT Zell on the Fan. All right, we'll come back. Reset down with the King topic of the day right now. Let's get you updated. Here's Andrew Bogut.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.